Good to have each one of you here in the house of the Lord this morning, and we appreciate the presence of the Lord that we feel without a doubt. We welcome each and every one of you and say God bless you. We are glad that you're here this morning. If you got your Bible and you want to share some scripture with me this morning, we're going to be reading out of the book of Acts. So if you will turn with me to the book of Acts, the fourth chapter, Acts chapter 4, and we're going to begin reading with the 23rd verse. Acts chapter 4, beginning with the 23rd verse. Plenty. You can take it down a little. All right. So the Bible says in Acts 4, verse 23, and being let go, let me just tell you who was let go, Peter and John. And being let go, they went to their own company or back to the church family. And they reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And then the whole church collectively. And when they had heard that, when they had heard the report that Peter and John had brought back from the chief scribes and the chief priests, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, this is their prayer. This is what they prayed together in unity or in unison. And I'm sure that it wasn't verbatim, word for word in unison, but this is the essence of their prayer. This is what they said. Lord, thou art God. How many of you know that's a good place to start by recognizing that he and he alone is God? He said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, by whose mouth thy servant David said, and this is something that David had prophesied or spoken, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? Why did the kings of the earth stand up and the rulers gather themselves together against the Lord and his Christ? For of a truth, they prayed, of a truth against thy holy child, Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod, Pontius Pilate, the Gentiles and the people of Israel, everybody together, amen, were against him. And he goes on, they went on to pray, to do thy hand and thy counsel determined what you had determined to do before. And then they said, now God, now Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness we may speak thy word, by stretching forth your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done in the name of the Holy Child, Jesus. And get this, verse 31. And when they had prayed, when they had concluded their prayer, the Bible said that the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Now I'm going to stop right there this morning. Ask that you bow your heads with me, and let's pray and ask the Lord for his help in delivering his word, all right? Father, we are thankful today. We are thankful for the presence of the Holy Spirit that we have sensed in this place as we have worshiped and as we have praised. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we have, each one of us, to be in the house of the Lord. I pray we never take that opportunity for granted. Thank you for the opportunity to gather here in your name. Thank you this morning, Father, for the word of the living God that is eternal and from everlasting to everlasting. I ask, Lord, that you give me liberty in the house of God, that you will enable me and give me divine capability to be effective in ministering the word of the living God and that which you have placed upon my heart. I ask, Lord, for divine inspiration and thought, and that you would give me utterance to speak. And Father, I pray, as I always do above all things, that you would glorify the name of Jesus, that you would edify the people of God, for that's the purpose of ministering your word. Lord, bless me to be a blessing. We ask it this morning in the wonderful and mighty and holy and awesome name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Everyone in agreement with that prayer said amen. Amen. So I want to title what the Lord has laid upon my spirit this morning. I want to title my message, The Nuclear Option of United Prayer. The Nuclear Option of United Prayer. As I begin this morning, it is my desire that we leave this place with a greater understanding of the power of corporate prayer. It is my desire that when we leave this house this morning, that we have a greater understanding of not only the power, but the importance of unified prayer. Understand and make no mistake this morning that we are in a spiritual battle. Understand this morning and make no mistake about it that each one of us, amen, are in a very real and very authentic struggle. There is a very real struggle between the forces of good and evil. There is a reality of the struggle between the forces of heaven and the forces of hell. It is a very literal battle. We are in it every day. We are faced with warfare every day. The Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 3 through verse number 5. This is what the Apostle Paul says. He says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." He said, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God." And he said that we are to bring into captivity every thought unto the obedience of Christ. He's not talking about a physical battle in this physical realm, but he's saying to us that we are just, amen, we are just as much in a spiritual conflict, in a spiritual battle, amen, and the weapons of our warfare are not in the natural, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of the enemy's strongholds. He tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul writes to the church in Ephesus, and he says these words. He said, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." I like that. It's not by our might, it is not by our power, but it is only by the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit that we can stand in this battle. Paul says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." And then he says, "And put on the whole armor of God." It's important to us this morning, amen, to dress ourselves spiritually for warfare. He said, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Amen. He said, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this world and against spiritual wickedness in high places." He tells us who our adversary is. And if you're not dressed for war, you're not going to last long on the battlefield. Hello? Amen. I tell you, when a soldier gets ready to go into combat, he does not go into combat in a Speedo. Hello? Yeah, erase that from your mind. No, when he gets ready to go into combat, he's got his equipment on. He's ready to face his adversary, amen, and he has defensive weapons and offensive weapons. Amen. We need to be spiritually clothed this morning. Amen. Ready for battle and ready to do battle with our adversary, the enemy. And if we're not ready for battle and we're not dressed for war, we're not going to last very long on the battlefield. Paul says to us in Ephesians, he says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore with your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. He said, take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all, not some, but all of the fiery darts of the wicked one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then listen to this 18th verse. He says, praying always with all prayer. Praying always with all prayer. Paul is telling us in 2 Corinthians. Paul is telling us in the book of Ephesians that we are in a spiritual battle. He is telling us that we are in a spiritual conflict. He is warning us that the only way that we will be able to stand against the power of the enemy is if we stand in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We must be filled with the Holy Ghost. He tells us that we must put on the whole armor of God. And then he concludes by saying that we are to be praying, amen, with all prayer and supplication. Praying always with all prayer. Amen. Let me just tell you this morning that we need to be praying on an individual level. We should be praying on an individual level, but I want you to also know that there is power when we pray in a united fashion, church. There is power when the believers of Jesus Christ join their faith, amen, together, and they join with one another in one heart, in one spirit, in one cause, and they begin to pray in unison for the same thing. There is power when the rest of the body of Christ comes into agreement and the rest of the body of Christ begins to pray with us. There is unparalleled, amen, power in united prayer. Amen. United prayer. Yes. Yes, God, amen, answers our individual prayers. But let me just tell you this morning, there is biblical evidence and biblical foundation to understand that when we unite ourselves together in prayer and in purpose, there is unparalleled power, unlimited power. Amen. United prayer becomes the A-bomb, if you will, the atom bomb or the nuclear option that destroys the work of our enemy, because the enemy begins to tremble and the enemy begins to shake when we unite our hearts in agreement and we unite ourselves one with another in one accord, with one heart, with one purpose and one objective. Brother, let me just tell you, when God's people join themselves together and they begin to pray, nothing shall be impossible unto them. United prayer, united together. I am reminded of an old Peanuts cartoon that I read years ago. Lucy, you know, the little girl on the Peanuts cartoon strip. Lucy walks into the room where Linus is watching TV and she says, change the channel. And Linus says to her, "What makes you think that you can walk into this room and just take over and order me around?" And she balled up her fist and said, "Or else." Linus looked at her and said, "Well, if you're going to put it that way, what do you want to watch?" And when he turned around to get the television remote to change the channel, he looked at his five fingers and he said, "Why can't we get together like that?" Hello? Amen. Why can't we get together like that? Amen. One by one, they're not that impressive. But brother, when you ball them up, amen, they can become a useful force. They can become a deadly weapon. You hear what I'm talking about? Amen. When we get together in unified prayer, brother, the enemy trembles and the enemy knows that his days are numbered. Because when God's people come together in prayer, it'll shake some things up. Amen, amen, amen. Jesus gives us precedent for what I'm speaking about this morning. Look, turn with me to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, verse number 19. Let me just read the words of Jesus. Matthew chapter 18, verse number 19. Jesus says to him, his disciples and those that were with him that day, he said, "Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they should ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven." If two of you shall agree on earth as touching any one thing that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Yes, there is authority. We have authority on an individual level when we pray in the name of Jesus. And yes, God hears the individual cries of our heart and God answers individual prayers. Amen. But let me just tell you this morning, if you need to drop the nuclear option on the enemy in your life, and drop the nuclear option, amen, on your circumstances, find somebody, amen, to join their heart with your heart, and your faith with their faith, and begin to pray as one unit and watch God do something amazing. I have told this little testimony before, but I remember when Cody was born, my wife had gone through labor and delivered that little boy, and the doctor come back in the room a few moments later, and this is what he said. He said, "Sir," he said, "I don't know how to tell you this, but your son has a hole in his heart." I said, what do you mean he has a hole in it? "Well, we can hear it. We're going to have to run some tests." He said, "But we can hear it. We can see it on the, whatever that machine is, that sonogram or whatever that Instagram thing is or whatever it is." Said, we can see a problem. We're going to have to run some tests to find out just how severe that it is. And this is what I said to the doctor. I said, "You go ahead and do what you got to do, and I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to prayer." I reached in the bed. I don't know if they still got them there, but I reached in the bed there in that hospital, reached into that drawer, pulled out a Gideon Bible, and I flipped it over to Matthew chapter 18 and verse number 19. And I said, "Right there, God, you said if any two agree as touching any one thing that they ask, you said you would do it. And right now I'm asking for your touch in my son's life." About 35 minutes later, 35, 40 minutes later, doctor walked back in the room and he said, "I don't know what happened." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, we can't find a thing wrong with his heart." Hey, I said, there's power when you unify yourselves together in prayer, when you link up your faith. Amen. When you need an atom bomb, when you need a nuclear option, when you really need God to move, when you need something from the Lord, join your faith with somebody else's faith and then watch God do something absolutely amazing. The concept that Jesus is teaching us here in Matthew is that when we link our prayers and our faith with other believers, that nothing, amen, can be impossible. When we unite our heart and our faith and we unite our agreement in prayer, there is unlimited power, amen, over the kingdom of darkness. I'm here to tell you this morning, we need to pray not just on an individual level, but we need to pray on a corporate level where we all are praying for the same thing. How many of you know when we gather here, amen, and we have prayer requests, it's not just a tradition, it's not just a ritual, but it is literally coming together praying for the specific needs of the body. Amen. We have had testimony after testimony of different ones that have testified about what God did through our prayers right here during our worship and right here during our prayer requests. Amen. I'm here to tell you that when we unite ourselves in prayer, God will do some wonderful and amazing and astounding things. That brings me to some examples this morning. Let me show you what happened throughout the Word of God when people united their hearts in prayer. And our text is a premier example of that happening. Our text in context, if you will. The story begins in the third chapter of the book of Acts. So if you begin to read Acts chapter 3, this is what the Bible says. The Bible says that Peter and John were on their way to the temple at the ninth hour of the day. And there was a man that sat at Gate Beautiful that went, amen, you had to go through the gate in order to get to the temple. And at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the ninth hour of the day, they are on their way to the temple to pray. And they come to this gate, and here sits a man that was lame, the Bible said, from his mother's womb. And he was 40 years of age. How many of you know 40 years is a long time to be lame? And he sat there by the gate. Someone brought him every day and set him by the gate so he could beg alms. And the Bible said when Peter and John were headed up to the temple that day, the man looked upon Peter and Peter caught his eye and Peter said to him, "Look on us." And the man, the Bible said, looked upon them expecting to receive something. And Peter says to him, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk." And the Bible said immediately that his ankles received strength and he jumped to his feet and he followed Peter and John on into the temple, leaping and praising and magnifying the Lord. And when they got in the temple, everybody was looking around and said, "Hey, how in the world did this happen?" And it gave Peter an opportunity to preach. And Peter began to explain to everyone that was in the temple. He said, "I'll tell you how this happened. There ain't no need to marvel about this, because the Jesus that you folks crucified and God raised him from the dead, this Jesus, by the same Jesus, you see this man made whole." And everybody that was there in the temple, some of the folks received the message and receive Christ. The Bible said about 5,000 of them. That's a lot of folks to be receiving Jesus. About 5,000 of them. But you know what? Not everybody received the message, because it made the Pharisees and it made the scribes and it made the religious elite mad. And they laid hold, the Bible said, they laid a hold of Peter and John and they kept them overnight. They locked them up, and they locked them up so that they could figure out what in the world they were going to do with these two, because they were preaching that through this resurrected Jesus, that this man was made whole. That went against everything that they believed. Amen. So the next morning, the Bible says they brought him out before the scribes and the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they couldn't really punish them, because if they'd have punished them, the people saw the miracle and it would have made the people angry. So they kind of scratched their head and said, well, here's what we'll do. Let's just threaten them real good. Let's just make sure we tell them that you better not be preaching that Jesus stuff around here anymore. And then send them on their way. And that's exactly what they did. They threatened them. They threatened them and said, don't you be speaking in the name of Jesus anymore. I know it might have been a notable miracle, but don't you be bringing up that resurrected Jesus no more. Don't you be preaching that around here anymore. Or else. And Peter and John went back to the rest of the church. Said, listen, folks, we got an issue. Here's what happened. Man got healed, we preached, they rebuked us, and they threatened us and said we better not be preaching anymore. And the Bible said that all of the church rose up with one voice and began to pray in unity and said, oh God, you see the hand of the Lord that's moved. And Lord, by your own servant David, you prophesied that the heathen would rage and the nations of the earth would be moved against your anointed one. But oh God, we're praying right now that you would do signs and wonders in the mighty name of your son Jesus, and that we may speak your word with boldness. And they prayed in unity with one heart and one spirit and with one objective. And when they finished their prayer, the Bible said that the place where they were gathered was shaken. Amen. The Bible says that the place where they were gathered together shook. Amen. And they were amazed. And the Bible said they spoke the word of God with boldness. What happened? The church began to pray in agreement. The body of Christ began to pray in unity. Amen. They began to pray in harmony. They began to pray in one accord and in solidarity. They unleashed the nuclear option. Amen. And the unified prayer that they prayed brought down the mighty move of God. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spake the word of God with boldness. Can I tell you what we need in the house of the Lord today is men and women coming together in faith and believing God together for God to do the miraculous and God to do the impossible. The place was shaken together. Amen. Why don't we, like Linus, look at one another and go, why don't y'all get together? Why don't you come together in unity? Why don't you come together in one heart and one spirit and in one objective and begin to pray that God will shake the city of Emmett with a move of the Holy Ghost? Why don't we come together and begin to pray that God will shake the state of Idaho with a Holy Ghost revival that'll move from the northern border to the southern border and from the western border all the way over, amen, to the eastern side of the state? Why don't we enlarge our vision and begin to pray God, amen, will shake United States of America with another move of the gospel of Jesus Christ and a revival that'll sweep this land, that'll change the course in our destiny as a nation. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Let me give you another example. I won't spend a lot of time there, but how many of you have ever read the book of Esther? It's only 7 chapters. Read it. It's an amazing story. It is an amazing story. Esther is made queen. Esther is a little Jewish girl, a little Jewish maid. She is made queen. in the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians. And there is a villain in the story by the name of Haman. Haman devises a plan because he doesn't like Mordecai, Esther's uncle. He devises a plan to destroy the entire Jewish nation. And they are ready to be destroyed, the whole Jewish nation, if it weren't for little Esther. And Esther sent a message to her uncle Mordecai from the palace when she found out about Haman's plan. She said, "You go tell my uncle Mordecai, you get everybody together. You get all the Jewish nation together. And you tell them for 3 days, we're going to fast and we're going to pray." And you know what happened? Haman's plan got fouled. Haman intended to hang Mordecai on a gallows. And the way the story winds up, I don't want to ruin it for you if you haven't read it, but the way the story winds up is Haman gets hung on his own gallows. And the Jewish nation not only survive, but they thrive. Hello? I said, God does amazing things when we unite our hearts in prayer. Oftentimes, listen to me for a moment, oftentimes, whether we realize it or not, often our prayer life becomes, God, I need. God, help me. God, do you see what I'm going through? Lord, I need you to move. God, it's me again, Lord, and I got a problem. Hello? Amen. Whether we realize it or not, often we begin to pray internal. Well, let me just tell you what happens when we begin to pray externally. When we begin to pray for others, when we begin to pray for those that despitefully use us, when we begin to pray for our enemies and bless them that curse us, and we begin to pray that God will do things for others, amen, you reap what you sow. God is not mocked. The Bible said, amen, whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Let me just tell you, if you begin to pray for somebody else and their need, I assure you God will take notice and not only meet their need, but he'll meet your need as well. Hallelujah. I remember years ago, I've never had any kind of trouble with my back. But for 3 months, my back hurt and ached. And I would get in my car and drive 600 miles and get out. And you'd think I was a cripple. Man, it'd take me forever to get straightened out and get straightened back up. And my back hurt. One day while I was studying, and I was preaching revivals all over the country. I mean, I'm running around preaching, and I got a pain. One day I was studying for my message that evening, and the Lord just kind of spoke to me, and he said, "Why are you putting up with that?" Hello? What do you mean, why am I putting up with it? Why ain't you healed me? I already have. I did it at Calvary. Said, "Why don't you just receive it?" I went, "Praise God." It works out this way. You're right, and I'm usually wrong. I said, "You're right, Lord. You're right. Why am I putting up with it?" From that moment forward, every time my back would pain, I would say, "Thank you, Lord. I am the healed of the Lord. Thank you, Lord, that I am the healed of the Lord." And for about another 3 weeks or so, every time it would, you know, pinch or whatever it did, I would go, "Thank you, Lord, Thank you, I am the healed of the Lord. I got in a service one night and a lady came up for me, come up in front of me for prayer. And she said, I don't know what I did today, but I was out mowing the yard and I must have done something to my back because it hurts. And I need you to pray for me and pray the Lord will heal me. And the devil immediately jumped on my shoulder and said, how can you pray for her when your back is hurting you? And I said, because I am the healed of the Lord. And when I laid my hands on her, God healed her and he healed me at the same time. I said, when you reach out to somebody else, God will take care of you. Hallelujah. Let me give you one more example. A biblical unified prayer. One more example. The Bible says in the book of Acts, the 12th chapter, that Herod had laid hold upon James, the brother of John, and had him beheaded, had him killed. And because it pleased some of the people, Herod also arrested Peter and threw Peter in jail. And he had the same thing in mind for Peter. You'll read about it in Acts chapter 12. And Peter is sitting in jail behind three or four gates. The Bible said he has a soldier on either side of him. And he's in chains, stocks, inside the prison. And everybody knew in the church, everybody knew where Peter was. He's in jail. And they've already killed James. And Herod is planning on killing Peter. And the whole church got to Mary's house, and they got into Mary's house and they began to pray. And they began to pray for Peter and pray for the deliverance of Peter. And this is what happened. You'll read about it in Acts chapter 12. The Bible said Peter is asleep between two guards. And all of a sudden, he is awakened. And there is an angel that's standing in front of him. And the Bible says that the angel smote Peter on the thigh and said, get up. Get up. Get on your coat and follow me. And when Peter got up, the Bible said that the chains, the stocks, just fell off of his body. And he grabbed his coat and they went through the first gate, the second gate, and they got out to the outer gate. And when they got out to the outer gate, the Bible said before they even arrived, it opened of its own accord. This is powerful stuff. I say God does really powerful things when people unite themselves in prayer. And Peter, he walks out the other side of the gate, out the last gate. He's a free man. The angel disappeared. And he beat feets it to Mary's house where the church has gathered bread. Knocks on the door. And Rhoda comes to the door. She didn't open the door. She just said, who is it? He said, it's Peter. She recognized his voice. She was all excited. She went back to tell the rest of the church, hey, Peter's at the door. And they said, you have lost your mind. Peter's in jail. Hello? Well, you're a crazy woman. We know where Peter is. He's not at the door. He's in jail. She said, no. Amen. I'm telling you the truth. He's standing at the door right now. They'd been praying and they didn't even realize God had answered their prayer. Amen. What I'm telling you this morning is that if we will unite our hearts together and pray. Amen, and pray. I pray, God, amen, let's pray God will let this couple buy their house. I know they got to leave, but let's pray God will let this couple buy their house. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen what the Bible said. This is what the Bible says in Luke chapter 18 and verse 1. Jesus spake a parable unto this end, that men ought always to pray and faint not. The Bible said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 7, it says, pray without ceasing. The Bible said in Ephesians 6 and 18, praying always with all prayer. Amen. Let your supplication be made known unto God. 2 Chronicles Chronicles chapter 7 and verse number 14, God said, if my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Do you believe that this morning? Then let's pray. Let's pray for souls to be won into the kingdom of God. They're not going to be birthed until we travail in prayer. Let's pray that God will bring souls into the kingdom of God. Let's pray that addictions are broken. Amen. What a great testimony what God is doing in Ben's life. But let's specifically pray for Ben and pray, God, break that yoke of bondage. God, break that chain and set him free and let him go as a testimony of your grace and your power. Let's pray this morning that the powers of darkness will be diminished. Let's pray for Holy Ghost revival throughout the United States of America and the nations of the world. Let's pray this morning for a younger generation that needs to know the reality of a living God. Let's pray this morning, amen, that God will bring them to the place where they come into intimate fellowship with him. Let's drop the nuclear bomb, amen, of united Holy Ghost inspired prayer, and let's pray together. Hallelujah. When God's people pray, hallelujah. I said, when God's people pray, the course of nations are changed, lives are changed. Bondage is broken. Captives are set free. Amen. All through united prayer. United prayer. Amen. Let's unite our hearts to begin to pray. Amen. In unity and pray with one purpose and with one accord. How can we do that, Pastor Gary? I'm glad you asked. This booklet that I hold in my hand, I have one for every single person under the sound of my voice and for those that are not with us today. This little booklet is called Seek God for the City. It is produced by a group of fellow believers called the Waymakers. This little booklet started out as a couple of guys going to a mission in San Francisco and praying. And before it was over with, they were not only praying at the mission in San Francisco, but it started a movement that started in San Diego, California, and people walked the entire length of the mission highway praying as they went. From one town to another, another town, they linked themselves together. And they begin to pray. Elevation Worship Center is not the only one that has joined their heart to this vision of praying the prayers in this little booklet. Churches right here in our community, First Baptist, Community Bible, Heritage Christian, churches right here in our community, all have purchased these same little booklets. It starts on February the 18th. The booklet concludes on March the 29th, which is Easter Sunday. 40 days. 40 days of prayer. Every single day, there is a small devotional and then what the objective for our prayer should be. Amen. Now, let me just tell you something this morning. The objective to our prayer in this book, it covers geographical areas. It covers emotional needs, physical needs, financial needs. It covers the entire world. And on the 29th, we'll wind up praying for Jerusalem. Amen. But what it does, this is what it does. It gives all of us every single day a mission that we can unite ourselves together and pray about. And it's not just Elevation Worship Center. It's not just Community Bible Church. It's not just Heritage Christian. It's not just the churches right here in the Emmett area. But there are 150,000 churches that are praying through this booklet. This booklet will not cost you a thing except a challenge. Do it. If you believe what I have preached this morning, and you believe that there is nuclear power, amen, I mean the A-bomb power in united prayer, and we can see it throughout the Word of God, amen, if you believe this morning that God does mighty things when we join ourselves together in prayer, then let's do this faithfully. Read it every day and begin to pray the things that are here, and begin to pray for one another, and begin to hold up the body of Christ, amen, and begin to pray that the spiritual darkness and the powers that be in wicked places and in high places, amen, find themselves broken and challenged by the prayers of God's people. Hallelujah. That's our objective this morning. Amen. Every day starts on Wednesday. Every day. Open this little booklet. You can read about how this booklet got started on the first couple of pages. And then from there going forward, here's week one. Amen. The first day, day one, day two, day three, day four, day five. And on each day, there is an objective for not just us, but for Christians and believers all across this nation to come together in one heart with one objective and pray in unison and in one accord for the will of God to be done. Amen. I don't know about you, but I am absolutely excited to see this happen. Amen. I am absolutely excited to see this happen. Before you leave today, amen, my wife will have the booklets right over there at the end of the table. Amen. Please, please, please get one of these booklets. If you know somebody that's missing from our congregation, those of you that have family members and those that are in the back teaching, please get them one. And let's just see what God will not only do in our life, but in the world around us, as we join our hearts and we join our faith together. Well, Pastor Gary, do you really believe that can happen? I do, or I wouldn't be asking you to do it. Let me give you one last biblical precedence. Daniel is praying. For 21 days, Daniel has prayed. And you know what happened? Gabriel shows up and says, listen, your prayer was heard on the very first day you prayed, but I got hindered. What hindered you? The prince of Persia, the demonic power that's seated over the Persian region, hindered me, but you kept praying. And God sent reinforcements, and here I am with the answer to your need. The answer to your question. Amen. I'm telling you, there are spiritual wickedness in high places. There are demonic powers that are very real. And we are in a spiritual battle. And the way to break the dominion of those forces is through the power of united prayer. Amen. Bow your heads, if you will, please, all over the house of the Lord. The nuclear option of united prayer. Let's unite our hearts and our prayers together these next 40 days and begin to pray not only with believers in our own community, but believers all over the nation and even around the world, that God will do great and mighty things in the world that we live. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit that I've sensed as we've preached this message. I thank you, Father God, that there is indeed power when we come together, united in prayer, united in purpose, Father, help us, I pray this morning, to see that reality. And Father, let us join this nation of believers that have set their hearts to pray through this booklet, to pray for nations, pray for leaders, pray for the lost, pray for our loved ones, pray for revival. Pray that the scales of darkness will be pulled from the eyes of men and women, and that they'll come to know the reality of Jesus Christ. Pray that hindrances are moved and hindrances are taken away. That the light of God and the gospel of the Lord will go forth with power. Help us, I pray this morning, as you said in your word, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, help us to be willing to humble ourselves in prayer, in united prayer. Give us that vision. Give us that heart, I pray, in Jesus' name this morning. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. How many of you here in this place this morning would be willing to say, Pastor Gary, I want to be a part of it. I want to be a part of it. Amen. God bless you. God bless you this morning. God bless you. Amen. Go ahead and say.